Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Good promo video games live show, everybody. It's us, the Filthy Boys, barging in, kicking open the door to our own podcast recording studio to jump in and remind you that we have a live show on sale. Isn't that right, lads?
We sure as hell do. April the 2nd, Comedy Republic. One of our famously infrequent live shows.
That's right.
If you've been to one before, you know what to expect, and that is a fun old time.
Yeah. I think even if you've not been to one before, you can guess what we'll probably do and probably be right. Yeah, it's 3:30 p.m. Saturday, the
3:40 p.m.
3:40 p.m., sorry. Yeah. We had to be cool.
Yeah.
Saturday, the 2nd of April,
Sunday.
Like we said. Sunday? Is it really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's at 3:40 p.m. Sunday, the 2nd of April, at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. If you're in the city, please come in person. We'd love to see you. It's great to have people in the room and you know, we'll chat to you and have a good time. And also, if you're not in the city, you can still buy tickets and be able to watch it live, and it'll be up for a certain amount of time for you to be able to stream it a little bit later if you can't make it live there. Tickets for both are available. If you go to filthycasuals.com.au, that'll have all the links for where to go. Or they'll
That's
be in
right.
the description of this episode.
We'd love to see you there.
Yeah. Yep.
On Gore's Day, the 15th of Grickrell. At 11,000 p.m. 2nd of April, Sunday.
Adam will be lost in a field somewhere, but me and Ben are definitely going to be at Comedy Republic on
Sunday. Well, I'll be there the day before.
3:40.
Yeah.
Virtual reality could relieve flare-ups rather than popping pills.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. We just did a fantastic countdown to the episode starting. We synced it all up, and then we absolutely lost it. The man who really re-centered us and keeps things driving along on the track is... joining us, as always, it's Adam Knox.
That's me. They call me the Fat Controller. And every time I say, wow, dare both Thomas and you
it's
call me that. Just because I keep the trains running on time. So I guess I could have a worse nickname. But either way, I'm here. And we've got a guest this week. It's Kirby week. So we brought in the Kirby of video games journalism. Because she sucks up all the news and then spits it back out of Kotaku. It's Ruby Innes. Hooray.
That was a great intro.
That was fantastic. And I'm also shaped like a friend, much like Kirby. So it works
sometimes
out perfectly.
Sometimes you suck in the news, you don't spit it back out, you press down, and then you become the news.
I am the news.
You become
and
the
usually
story.
It's for something like defamation or like a crime of some sort.
It's crazy how, did you ever think like moving into games journalism that you would literally need to be like a crime reporter a lot of the time?
I did it first. I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to report on some of this stuff, am I? And then I made the exciting decision to not do that. And instead talk about video games that I like and stuff because I preferred it.
Irresponsible.
Yeah. I already made the mistake of being born a woman. I'm not going to make the next mistake of saying anything out of line.
Yeah, well, I think we covered this last time you were on, but a lot of your stories that you'll have on Kotaku are accompanied by your great drawings that are frequently of like little goblins covered in slime and things of that nature. So I can understand why they wouldn't give you the keys to some of the more heinous stories that are out there, because I would shudder to think what you would draw to accompany that. Yeah.
The amount of times I've heard straight editorial is...
and Nox, of course, not hypocritical of all of you to say that about Ruby. Us, you know, dealing with all of the worst stories on this podcast, we dive headfirst into them as, you know, everyone wants to hear our opinions on them.
That's me. I've got the right takes, and anyone who comes near me gets to hear them. It's the coolest way to be. Are we all in? Oh no, me and Ben are in the same city. But Tommy, you're in Adelaide. That's why we're recording over the computer, and why we thought, hey, we can get a different computer guest on. Ruby, you're in Sydney.
That's right.
It's pretty cool being intercontinental like this.
We're all in different parts of the world. Yeah. When you think about it.
Yeah. And I by the way, I know what a continent is. I said intercontinental because I assume we all have different levels of needing to piss. So,
oh, sure.
I'm actually not stupid, and it's time to report on the latest crimes in the world of video games.
Well, we're like straddling time zones too. I'm half an hour behind you guys. I'm in Adelaide, which has, maybe one of the stupidest things of any city in the world, a half hour time difference. Just crazy pointless stuff, but good on them.
Yeah. I think there's a place like, I think it's in India that maybe is the only other place that does a half hour.
Yeah.
So you're in a pretty cool spot.
I'm Indian. In my opinion.
And we all say that about you.
Yeah. It's He's really got to knock it off.
Well, he does a video games podcast, Ruby. We have to cover it on the site. Get the pen out. Do a little drawing of him. Well, we got to get into I guess the biggest news of the week in Filthy Casuals land. There's been a bombshell development in a long running story that we've had here on the podcast. People who listen regularly will be familiar with the what was the impending launch of the PSVR 2. Adam Knox had a pre-order ready to go. It's
such a funny way to describe something that's already happened. It used to be impending. Previously.
Formally upcoming.
Previously impending. You had the pre-order. You bailed on it a couple of days before
the release
of the PSVR 2.
Yeah. Came to my senses, realized...
Would have been irresponsible.
There's nothing on there that, like, you know, necessitates... It, and nothing can ever necessitate buying a luxury like a game. But even within that world, there are some where, you know, you make an effort to jump in there, and there's nothing crying out that loud from the PSVR2's library. It would be silly, especially if you already have like a Meta Quest thing,
right?
And you barely touch it. It would seem so stupid.
If you did it, you would surely be called words that are unbroadcastable. is what that behavior would be.
It's intervention level stuff, right? Like I don't want to
hypothetically.
It would be a crime of irresponsibility, the kind of which would get reported on throughout video games media. I would
love
by
to
a
see
a certain individual.
I need to see
someone would draw me eating a like being eaten by a piece of cheese or
That's why Ruby needs to chase down a scoop. Yeah.
I'm just here for all the drama, honey.
We thought you were just going to be a guest on the podcast, but you've shown up with your little hat on with press sticking out of it. So there's clearly an ulterior motive.
This is like a Vice piece on the most extreme fringes of video game society.
Well, I work right across the desk from the Vice team, so anything real stanky and dirty?
You'd
like to be reported?
Hey, are they just on TMT all the time?
They are incredibly normal and incredibly cool.
It's
alarming.
Well, the other day, I took acid and went and bought a PSVR set.
Two?
PSVR 2. I'm out here living that sequel life. It's
I got worried for a second.
I'm really not tapped into what's going on at the moment.
Because you already own a PSVR 1, so that would have been kind of more worrying.
I know.
But I still have it all plugged in so that I can plug that fucking thing in anytime the mood strikes, which is never.
It's almost never.
Just to clarify, have you got a MetaQuest as well?
I now own three different VR headsets.
My man, you be also, jacked in.
I have you enough that fucking well. Cerberus could play VR at my house.
You owned a Rift, but did you sell that?
This is the fourth one I've bought, and my brother now has one of them.
Great, right. great.
If you don't need one anymore, there's a very, very poor, sad woman in Sydney.
Here's the problem, Ruby. I need them all.
Hypothetically, if you were to ever not need one of your four VR headsets, I know it's almost impossible to imagine.
One of them's already gone to a loving home. Maybe one of the others will one day, but right now they're in a disgusted, regretful home.
I mean, the current one is basically not backwards compatible at all. So I guess in fairness to you, that does necessitate holding on to at least the PSVR 1.
Necessitate is suck at the naming word, things. Tommy. I caved. I don't know what happened because I was sick last week. I do think part of the decision-making process, like I whipped out one of those big calculators that you pull the crank on and it goes, and it told me like, do it, man. Go on. You can fucking figure it out. You like ramen.
You might not be sick right now, but you are not well. There is still...
There's nothing wrong with a nice cozy blanket.
Do you mean like an abacus or a slot machine?
Nah, one of those ones in the middle. It's like the... The one it's like a big chunky thing, and it lived on your desk, and you wore one of those flat cap green visors that was semi see through.
It's a 1950s accountancy tool. I think it was a calculator, right?
Or sorry, I'm so young.
It was one of those. Old
I was
school...
born yesterday.
But you weren't around in the 50s like we were.
No.
It was actually one of those old school love tester machines. Knox just put his hand on the little thing, and it said, "Go for it." And he was like, "All right."
Someone made
fuck my VR2.
Someone made one video game that ran on those old mechanical calculators, so I had to buy it. Because how dare you live without a piece of fucking hardware you could potentially play a game on, but probably won't. Especially when... So I bought... I ended up buying the PSVR 2 with the... And I was sick. And so putting it on and trying it made me so dizzy. And
so straight out of the gate,
I got
straight
so
out of the
sweaty,
gate, awful experience.
So fast. That like body's response to being poisoned, like I was in the back of a car when I was a baby. Like it was just unusable for days.
This is Munchausen. This is like I don't want to get better, so I'm gonna prolong the illness by going into the mainframe.
I'm prolonging some kind of illness that I've got. That's for fucking damn sure. But I now have it. Part of the justification being, like, now I'm the correspondent for PSVR 2. So ask me anything you want to know. Ruby, you've tried one once, but these guys haven't.
Mm.
I'm an open book.
Well, can I just say very quickly, I just want to get this out there. The way that you revealed to me and Ben that you'd bought the VR 2 was masterful, because as far as we knew, you were still sick. So we sent a message in the group thread being like...
And you were right.
We sent a message going like, "Hey, man, how are you feeling? You any better?" And you were like, "Yeah, a little bit better. Still not great." And then you go, "Oh, so apparently in the Horizon game, you can like do paintings on the walls. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, check out this one that I found." And then you send us a screenshot of like a cave wall that just says on it, "Boys, I've gone in." And then a crude little drawing of you wearing a VR helmet.
Yeah. And it took me so long to do, and I was having to like stand up and crouch and like really make myself feel terrible because I was still...
I did not put two and two together that when you said boys, you meant like boys, comma, and just boys I've gone in. And I was expecting like a tally system.
Then a little self-portrait down the bottom.
Yeah.
Happy Pride, everyone.
I did do it. They've got like rainbow colours too. So I don't even remember if I did do a comma. So I am the ultimate subconscious
The call
ally.
Of the mountain.
Yes.
Slay.
Yeah, Call of the Brokeback Mountain. Okay, boys. Okay.
All right. Even in VR, I get no respect.
My first question, Nox, is: do you feel that it's worth it? Because we obviously have gone in on a bunch of stuff that we probably wouldn't have if we didn't do this. Do you reckon that this is something you recommend to like a big gamer, or is this still a niche VR thing? What do you reckon?
I don't think that at this point... So part of my reasoning was that surely at some stage something's going to come out for this that we're definitely going to want to talk about. And right. So,
you'd hope.
Yeah, right. I certainly fucking hope now.
Maybe.
But like right now, no way. I'm having to fight back every urge of my body being like, nah, yeah, it's fine. You're okay. Dental work right. away. Mm. I like, it's not, it's not necessary at all. Right. There's nothing on it. Like the biggest thing that is exclusive to, I guess there's three, which are Call of the Mountain, the Horizon climbing game, Gran Turismo 7 in VR, and Resident Evil 8 in VR. They're like the three big flagship kind of things they've been promoting, and I tried all of those out and they're very cool. It's really like the hardware itself is great. If there were games to play on this thing, it's maybe the best headset out there. Like, it wouldn't be such a ridiculous investment in that situation if there was stuff to play on it, which like is like saying if this food was better it'd be delicious. But
yeah,
I do think that like the actual thing is really well built. There's it's not super different to a Quest or whatever. You're still, especially if you've hooked one of those up to a PC before, if you or if you've got like, I've never used an Index, but those like high-end
right
PC VR things can do basically everything this does. The one thing that was new to me in this was the eye tracking, which feels crazy. That right. shit is scary and really cool. It's not being used that much in much that I can tell at the moment, but like even just literally like the setting up of the eye tracking, it gets you to just look at a little dot that it moves around the screen a few times and then sets up a ring of circles around the periphery of your vision, and when you look at one of those it will go ba-ding and know that you're looking at it. It's set off the part in my brain genuinely that is like the part that's like, oh shit, a predator's looking at you, because like it, the VR helmet being aware of my eye movement had that crazy like magic feeling that freaked me out.
So the application of this is supposed to be secondary to obviously like moving your head and that moving your field of view in the game. If it can see where your eye is looking, it then it's focusing in more on the part of the screen that you're like looking at. Is that correct?
It uses it for a couple of different things, which like one of them is a rendering trick where it will render in higher fidelity the stuff you're actually looking at so that it can save resources on your periphery, which your brain can't see that much anyway.
That's like how the human brain works.
Yeah. The thing crazy. Is emulating, it's like it when you think too much about how well it's tricking you as well, because you cannot fucking tell. It completely works. It snaps to it so quick that you cannot detect like any pop in or whatever. Like it really does work for that, to the point where I almost don't believe that it's doing it because I haven't been able to see it not working. So I'm like, well, is it just you know what I mean? Like you keep
turning your head to the side and trying like get a side eye. It's like, no, you don't understand.
I know. I was looking up top left and then I'd close my eyes and look down bottom right and then open them. And it's not tricked.
This is like a little kid trying to catch Santa Claus, just like sleeping with one eye open.
Well, like when you have what are they called? Like the wispy like floaters in your eyes.
Oh yes,
and you try and spot them.
So frustrating! A fucking vessel burst in my eye during the pandemic, and so left like a little.
Oh my god!
A wobbly like pinprick of light that's still there, and I can't look at it. It's always just out of view. It's driven me insane enough that I spent $1,000 on a VR. Patreon.com/filthycasualspod, please, for the love of God.
Yeah. But you can also, I've heard that it uses eye tracking for like selecting menu items and stuff inside.
So that's that's the second function
seems like
of it.
That's Minority Report shit, right? Like that seems really cool.
It's really annoying because you don't quite notice how much during normal life, even if you're looking at something to use, your eyes are darting all over the shop. You're always taking in your surroundings. So I found with those menus that are like eye contact driven, I'm having to really pay attention to where I'm. Like it's quite strange and a little bit annoying to have to look directly at, because it can feel as well like you're looking directly at this thing, but then it'll go to the thing below and you're like, you're right, you caught me looking. I had a quick look down towards options.
I keep selecting big boobs. I know that your continue
game is up there, but So that's the sort of thing though that, like, as with a lot of VR stuff, will be iterated on and they'll figure out the
right
settings.
Ruby,
that,
you were telling us off air that your colleague has a VR2. You've got like a, what is it, like a work unit that that you guys got given, that you've tried, that you're fanging to get your hands on again.
I really want to try it because I got to have a little test of it, and it rocks. It's so much fun. I love, like, okay, like, I know this is gonna, I've never, before that, I had never tried VR before. Actually, right. I've only tried VR once, and it was for a second, and it was very scary because I was at Sexpo for my old radio show, and there was a booth that had VR headsets, and I was like, oh, cool, VR, I've never tried that before.
And so I
put the headset on, and immediately, just like right in front of my eyes, it's just like a bare asshole, and I'm like,
all right. And you were playing Beat Off Saber.
It was just a video, and I was so scared. And I was like, it almost felt like I walked in on someone, and I wasn't supposed to be there. And I felt not only embarrassed but really guilty because, like, she didn't know I was there, I think. And so I took it off really quickly, and I was like, I'm so sorry. And then years later, I got to try the PSVR2, and I really love it. It was kind of jarring, just the fact that characters in a game like Horizon are the same size as you.
I got freaked out by Aloy being shorter than me. But also, the sense of presence, like a bare asshole or a character you know gives you in VR, I was like, it was the strangest reaction to being a little starstruck, seeing fucking this fictional character in front of me. Really weird. And then I threw up on the ground.
You're like, hi, I'm your biggest fan. And even just like the little things of like picking up an apple and bringing it to your mouth to take a bite and eat it, and then proceeding to eat the whole apple and just toss the apple core right off a cliff, and it goes so far, and I'm like, I didn't know I was that strong. Like,
fuck.
Rocks,
this is really selling me more than any of the reviews or press I've read, honestly. You can fucking litter and no one can get you in trouble.
No one care.
And you can utopia.
You can chuck a deuces up, and you can drag a box up, lift it, and then also throw that off a cliff. You can throw pretty much anything you find off of a cliff, which just rocks, really. I think the game I'm most excited for, though, and the one I will probably, like, if I can't get my own through work, the one that I'm most excited to just buy a headset for is Sushi Ben.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah.
So good.
I haven't
seen
this
one.
It
looks so good. It's like a slice of life anime type VR game where you have to you're now taking care of like a sushi restaurant and you have to bring it back up to scratch, and like, as well as like making sushi, you're also like following the story and doing a whole bunch of other cool little things like playing ping pong or walking a dog, and it's very silly, very sweet. The art style is just lovely, and I'm super excited for it, but like, I don't know when it's coming out, and I probably won't buy one myself until then.
Sushi Van, did you say?
Ben.
Sushi Ben. Like Ben.
Oh, friend. Ben.
You know Ben.
Well, it auto-corrected to Sushi Vancouver anyway.
Like
so
Ben.
That's not helpful.
It's coming out this year, apparently, on all headsets. So
yes, that is the biggest thing with PSVR 2 is that if you're in the bullshit position of having access to multiple, there's a lot of what's coming out on this is on the other ones.
Right.
And it looks great on this because, like, the screens in that PSVR 2 are really high quality. It's super high resolution, and it's the OLED screen, so you're looking
high,
at
real high refresh blacks. Rate, right? Like all of that stuff. That's because that stops people, a lot of people who are getting sick using VR for extended periods. I think the refresh rate being high is like to counter that.
It's a big part of it. Like it helps everything be smooth and look closer to like that. It's a lot more jarring when things aren't running as fast as real life does if it's trying to emulate real life. But all of it works super well. But yes, in a very similar way to stuff like those Quest headsets do, which weirdly, if you've not got anything though, this is, and you happen to have a PS5 already, this is maybe the best one to go for long term, but also right now maybe not, because there's fewer games on this than a lot of those others.
Right.
So a lot of those ports that are coming over are better and are like they're doing enhanced editions and whatever that the crank up the settings a little, but it's certainly like, and if you were going from the ground up, it's still probably better for like if you this isn't that different of a price to like building a good PC instead of getting a PS5 and getting like a Quest which you can hook up. So there's lots of different options, and none of the VR headsets really have that one big case maker for why they stand out in front of the others, other than maybe Half-Life Alyx, which has not come to this yet, but absolutely could be run on this.
Or the Nintendo Labo.
Actually, you make a good point.
That's a good option. Yeah,
because I think you get a piano option with that one too. Yeah, and you get to drive a car and fish.
Mech, big mech man.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, I fucked it. I've got to get another.
It sounds great. I just really wish that they were. I just wish that they were showing off any of what they're gonna put on this thing. It came out, and there was that state of play where they said they were gonna show off some VR stuff, and it was like, oh, here we go. And then wasn't it? It was all just stuff that is coming to all the headsets. It's crazy that they have given away nothing of their plans.
It's really fascinating because, like, I feel like the best way to go would be to, you know, show actual gameplay footage and stuff like that of new games coming to the system. But I have pretty much written most of the PlayStation VR 2 games coverage for Kotaku Australia, and it's all just coming through like PlayStation blogs, so you're not seeing as many like actual like trailers and shit, and when you do find trailers, they're for, you know, releases for, once again, every single headset. So it's really fascinating, honestly.
It's a weird rollout. When it's such a big ask, I think that's the thing they don't seem to get, weirdly, is that, like, you know, sometimes people that are like working in a company, they're just in a bubble, and it's like, this is a lot of money for people. Like, you have to be, but it's as if they just don't. They're like, but it's almost like their assumption is just like, yeah, we're pitching to the tech heads. Like, we don't care. They'll spend the money regardless. But like, I don't know. It feels like you should be doing something to try and pick up the man on the street.
The guess would be, right, and I'm sure this is and like we've guessed this same thing with heaps of stuff that's happened over the last 3 years or whatever, is that like, hardware is at such a point where it's moving along fast enough that you can't wind it down during COVID, and then headsets are hard to get out to at-home developers while you're making that stuff, so it delays all of those games by quite a while. So they've got to be planning the obvious home runs like Astrobot and whatever, surely, but you can't maybe change manufacturing timelines quite as easily. Like why Nintendo put out that OLED Switch when it was originally seemingly going to be that higher end Switch.
The Pro. Yeah.
The Pro.
The Pro.
So I'm confident that there will be at least something show up later, right? Unless, because it doesn't seem like it's been a big sales bomb. I don't think.
No.
I think it's sold okay for them, and that obviously will taper off very quickly, because anyone who's psycho enough to buy one is going to be the type of person who's like there early, and I can't imagine anyone's waiting until March or April for no more new games to come out before they pull the very cool reactive trigger. But just so it's really cool, and driving in a car in Gran Turismo, seeing a fucking car all around you. You're driving a car.
It's just like being a car.
Yeah, it's almost crazy. You could have got a car for less.
It is. I mean, I'm still at the point with Gran Turismo where I was driving a lot of fucking Hondas around, so it isn't that crazy yet. But one day
I'll give
be
you
a
lift.
Lambo.
Just let me know, brother. I'll give you a lift.
Yeah, I just
I've told you guys.
I just bought Toyota Camry Simulator for the PSVR 2. It's crazy.
A lot of the games still are at that level too, where it's like,
right,
I'm working at a restaurant and I'm exhausted all the time, and like I'm cleaning up after somebody else, and you know, there's a lot of. So, I like it. It's just there's, as we knew, without having to buy one, there's no real reason for you to buy one other than if you can stretch to get one and enjoy it as a
enjoy
cool
tech
thing that
an early adopter kind of thing. Yeah,
I think I'm not sure if I told this on here, but one of the great VR moments I've had in my life was when I got the PSVR 1 headset. Watching my housemate at the time, Pat, have it on and put on a bit of Gran Turismo, and he was like stopped. He stopped like mid-track, and there's like the guys sort of along the side of the track.
Yeah.
And I watched him with the headset on kind of turn around and like try and flip them off, just like just giving the bird in our living room and getting really mad, being like, why aren't they reacting? Why can't they see that I'm that I'm giving them the bird? Like, oh my God.
He needed the quest. They got hang tracking in that.
That's true, yeah.
A lot of these games, yeah, it sounds like the PS5 like exclusive or the ones that have been specially made for it sound like they're kind of like they are the elevated experience, the Resident Evil 8, the Gran Turismo, and obviously, Call of the Mountain's purpose-built for it.
They look great. They look better than anything I've seen in VR before, including Half-Life, which is a couple years old,
right,
I guess. And like Call of the Mountain is cool. It's fun. It's like there's a cool thing where when you shoot your bow, I think it is aiming based on eye tracking too, which is like
cool.
But it is a pretty straightforward thing, and if you've already played a bunch of VR games before, it is like The Climb. It is like a lot of those stop and shoot at a enemy things. Like, it's not doing anything with the game that's like new, but if it's new to you, which VR is so easy to be still for heaps of people, it would be cool. There was a weird thing where like Reggie Fils-Aimé, who used to be the Nintendo guy, shared some article where it was like, it'll always be a niche product. VR will never reach so much of the population, but saying that currently about 1.7% of people on the planet own a VR headset, which seems like fucking heaps to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I own three, so maybe it's fewer actual people, but...
Yeah. It's a Spider's George situation where one person just owns 50. You're an outlier that shouldn't be counted.
Although this same graphic says that 45% of people in the world own a video game. So does that sound right? I don't know.
If you
is that an
like
overestimation?
Downloading games on your phone?
Like, yeah, sure. I guess.
Believe it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that checks out. Call of the Mountain. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously it's not driven me to buy it.
It's nice, and it's something
beautiful.
That like it looks fucking amazing. It's really crazy, and like looks good enough that it feels bizarre that you're not getting wind on your face. Like, I'm doing a bit of a Pat, why can't I flip people off thing, where it like has hit this uncanny valley level where it really like you walk under a little waterfall and it your body notices that you're not getting splashed. And
right.
It's really odd.
Yeah, it's not like Shrek 4D at all.
No, it's nowhere near as good as that, and I don't know if it'll ever reach that, but...
Fair.
We don't know if
it is a decent game though. When people, if there's something that sells it, it's totally not bad. It's just it's nothing so crazy that like you're missing out.
I'm getting tempted. I'm sorry to say. Now that I by buying one would only be the second dumbest person on this podcast. Like now, and I imagine it's the same for a lot of listeners.
No, because who's dumber,
like,
the idiot or the idiot who follows him? Actually, so.
Also, I know your IQ score, Tommy. You're already the dumbest person on the podcast.
It feels nice to be the smartest person in a room for once.
Well, look, yeah, we don't know if...
earn enough money to buy three different VR headsets? You'd have to be...
Well, that's a whole other conversation,
buddy.
Yeah,
that's... Yeah.
Would a dumb guy really be able to understand all of the words on this eviction notice because he didn't pay rent? Checkmate. Well, look, we don't know if any... we don't know what the future holds for exclusive first-party games on the PSVR 2.
Or
but
for
hey,
anything.
Games are continuing to come out on other mediums, including, but not limited to, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which we were treated to a hefty little look at in the latest PlayStation State of Play that happened last week. And it's fair to say the response has been mixed. And by that I mean all different types of bad.
Yeah, it looks... So I saw people who were paying more attention to it, I suppose, were like, yeah, this looks like what we kind of thought it would be, like this sort of shitty microtransactions thing, which they really spent a lot of time like focusing on all of that loot and gear and whatever. And across the board, it's just such a fucking tiring system that people are quite rightly sick of because it's been put into so many games. Like, there's a thing that I think happens with people like us who play a bunch of games and review them and whatever, where like open world games are a good example where people go like, oh, this review is really mad at Assassin's Creed because open world games have become too formulaic, but you play 50 of them, so of course you think that. But this type of shit has been put into so many games that it seems like everyone has gotten sick of it.
Yeah. You would have been tracking this for a while, Ruby. Did you predict that this was going to be a shit show? Because I feel like I was a bit naive and I was like, no, it's Rocksteady. It's going to be great. What did you have a feeling about this?
I feel like in recent years, kind of truly gargantuan slays of superhero games have been few and far between. Like Spider-Man and Batman.
Mm.
And if you liked Midnight Suns, sure, whatever. But like it, few and far between, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Seeing Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, it was like I do love a bit of villainy and crime. And I liked the second Suicide Squad movie.
Yes, yeah, same.
But it didn't. I don't know. The game just seemed like I wasn't super pumped for it, and then the State of Play came on, and I was still kind of like, boring. It just didn't do anything for me. I was way more excited about Humanity, which was announced much earlier in the State of Play, because it looks incredible. Like, not just because you play a dog, but because, like, it looks like a really, really cool puzzle game. It's from the people of Tetris Effect. So I saw that and I was like, that's awesome. I'm downloading the demo right meow. But with Kill the Justice League, I was like, oh, this is so long.
this is on my screen for so much time.
Yeah.
And the same sort of, because we've gotten so many, like, everything they've said about it for the fucking years, it feels like they've been talking about it, has been like, look, it's going to have cutscenes with Harley Quinn in them. And they've said that like 30 times. And then the first time they show real proper, this is what it looks like as a game stuff, it's like, oh, they've got guns and they're jumping real floaty.
It's Fortnite. Mm. It's Fortnite with just DC
skins.
It's
Spider-Man Fortnite.
It's Spider-Man Fortnite. Yeah, totally.
And, like, the thing is, like, I love Harley Quinn. The DC animated TV series is so much fun and fantastic. So I love her. And I was hoping for, I don't know, not Spider-Man. It's just kind of Spider-Man with a gun.
It looks like all the characters just feel the same to play. It doesn't look like there's any... Everything just kind of looks so cosmetic in terms of who you're choosing to play as. I saw someone in our Discord get really hung up on like, oh yeah, the voice acting of the Australian guy is really annoying. And I was like, it's interesting to me to like be able to get like that deep into it that like that's your issue with what's going on. It's like, I mean, if it looked like it was going to be a fun game that I was interested in the format of in any way, I might be able to get to the point of going like, oh yeah, that acting's a bit annoying, but like I was just immediately like hard snooze. This just seems like the thing that the way they rolled out the, what was the other one? Gotham Knights. Because we heard so much about that and that's out obviously, and people thought, okay, well this one's going to be this will be the spiritual successor to the Arkham games, which is what people really want. People want another one of them.
Tommy, this game may look shit, but at least you can pay a bunch of extra money for unnecessary items.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I mean, there's... Yeah, we talk a lot on this show about the value in a remaster or a remake or a port. And, you know, I kind of really believe that a good game is a good game. If it was great 20 years ago and it holds up now, then I'm happy to pay $60, $80 for it, especially if I didn't get to it the first time around and it runs well and everything. And you know, you compare that to this where you're paying, what, $100 for something that won't be playable in the same way when the servers get turned off in 2 years right. If people haven't interacted with it in the way they want. And you're going to be asked to pay more money down the line to have stuff in it. It just, I don't know. It just seems, yeah, it seems no bueno.
Agreed. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Our friends at Manscaped, they're still providing... I can't get them to stop this. They're still providing the highest quality men's grooming products on the market.
We've been sending them so many of our bad ideas, trying to get them to adopt them so that they can just not be the clear front runners in the space. But unfortunately, they keep replying saying, this is extremely damaging to our relationship as supporters and promoters on your show.
They make a wonderful product. They've been supporting this show for a long time. You got the lawnmower 4.0. You got the ear and nose hair trimmer, which, you know...
I'm not bothered to come up with a catchy name for, but
yes,
no, it's the job just as... Nah. Oh, does
yes, have they have. It's called the Weed Whacker.
Oh, the Weed Whacker. Oh,
well, I haven't bothered to remember their catchy name for it in the same way.
I'm too busy using it. Guys, I'm on the downhill slope. I'm late 30s now, baby, and I'm trimming that nose and I'm trimming those ears constantly. The hair just keeps coming back, I'm sorry to say. So if you're younger than me, get prepared.
Lucky they don't make a trimmer for the top of your head, or else. I don't know why it's lucky.
Well, I need one for the sides, yeah.
Yeah. Manscaped make really good things. You can look at all of their products at manscaped.com. And when you're checking out, use the code FILTHY and you get 20% off and you get free shipping.
Hell
of a deal.
Don't pay the fees you don't need to pay, and you don't need to pay them because you're listening to this. Use the code FILTHY, 20% off, free shipping for the great stuff they've got at manscaped.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by NordVPN. They are, for my money, which is paid to me by them, to be fair, but also my genuine opinion, they're...
You are a paying customer of theirs.
I literally am as well.
Yeah.
We've got an odd back and forth, give and take sort of thing, but they're probably they are the VPN I would recommend the highest out of any in the world.
Yeah.
Easy to use, effective, very reliable, which is something I always had problems with VPNs in the past, is that like half the time it just wouldn't fucking work or it'd be too slow. I haven't had those problems with NordVPN from my personal experience.
Provide a layer of security and privacy. Tommy, you've had your identity stolen about 14 times.
Yes.
But that was before you were a customer of NordVPN. They are, genuinely, they both provide the privacy that you don't get from things like government agencies and advertisers and people that want all of your data. So using your VPN makes sure that you are secure and protected from that. It's good for online banking. If you do business over the internet, it just makes it safer. It makes it safe as opposed to unsafe, which unfortunately is the case if you don't have something like this. So I've been using it for years for the fun reasons as well, like pretending I'm in the UK and watching Alan Partridge and stuff like that. But it's also just kind of like a necessary piece of security if you use the internet.
Mm. Get on it. They've been supporting the show for a while and you can get a great deal right now thanks to their involvement with this podcast. You get a massive, massive discount and a free little extra something.
Yeah, the deal is always available to see at nordvpn.com/filthy. It ebbs and flows, but it's always good. Yeah. And they've got a very non-personalized message there saying, as heard about on the podcast. But don't be put off by that. It is us. NordVPN.com/filthy is where to go for your discount and to get NordVPN.
But yeah, you've mentioned Humanity, Ruby. Yeah, this was one of the highlights. This is like, it's like crazy 3D Lemmings. It looks fucking sick. I'm super hyped for this. Was there anything else in the state of play that, yeah, that stood out?
I'm still very excited for T'Chia. I think that looks absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that looks cute.
And the more I see of it, which, like, it seems like they're putting a lot of work into showing as much as possible about, like, not only the game itself, but also, like, behind the scenes of the game. Like, and I think that's really neat. It just looks beautiful. It looks beautiful.
It does.
So I'm very excited for that one. In terms of what else, I know that they announced 5 more VR games.
Yeah. I was paying particular attention to that bit. And,
yeah. As a VR owner yourself.
Yeah. Did you watch the presentation in the headset?
Yeah. You're the headset head of the show.
That's me.
I thought the Foglands looked really cool.
Foglands looked interesting. It had like a bit of a like an aesthetic to it, which was cool.
I don't think any of them looked shit, but it's that same thing that there has been the problem with VR for a little bit where I don't like... Once you've played a couple of the better VR shooting games, it's hard for any of the others to come along and look different. There's not a ton of like, I'm sure they'll be all right. That the game Before Your Eyes looked like it might be okay, which is sort of a more of a story driven thing.
It's such a beautiful game. It's on other stuff.
You can play it for quite a while. Yeah,
oh, it hasn't come before my field of vision.
I played it like 2 years ago, and I think I briefly mentioned it. It's cool. It's like such a fun idea. Obviously, it's like it's kind of a little less innovative having it on VR because like initially it was like webcam eye track, like you know, that was very cool. But yeah,
that makes sense how they did the eye tracking, because I was going to say it uses the PSVR eye tracking thing, and when you blink, it moves time forward. Is its
right
idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fuck that game then. If it's been for 2 years, I'll never.
That'd be cool.
It looks cool. It just looks like a bit more of the set. Like there's a lot of VR shooting sci-fi kind of games, which these don't like stand out to me. Unfortunate, but Humanity I think has a VR mode as well, like Tetris Effect.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that could be cool. Yeah.
The smartest consumer.
If you haven't checked out the demo, highly recommend doing so. I think there's like 11 levels that you can try out, and then on top of that, a whole bunch of like user made levels that you can try. Okay. So even before the game has fully come out, there's actually quite a lot you can do within it. It's just in terms of like story. You can't, you know, progress further than the demo. But if you're looking to just play some puzzles, there's plenty to do.
I fucking love puzzles.
It rocks.
And I don't mind.
I'm downloading it now.
I spent quite a bit of time playing over the like a couple months ago. I finished it up. I started playing it last year, but finished the demo for the Elden Ring DLC, which was called Elden Ring. And they announced the full game for Elden Ring DLC, which is called Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yes. Right. Yes, it is.
That was sick that they, like, so weird because it was the first anniversary of Elden Ring, like, 3 days before they announced it. Right. And then they, like, missed their birthday and went, yeah, we'll do that.
I got you flowers.
Yeah, we were busy working on the DLC, okay?
Happy
no time for taking
birthday,
here.
Elden Ring.
Yeah. It was a very, very goofy, silly fun of them to also announce it at 7 p.m. Australian time when I was well and truly not online anymore.
up against maths. Very bold of them.
Exactly. Up against maths. You know, there's so much convergence there.
Yeah.
And the amount of like people I saw very clearly jumping right on when they're not clocked on to get on that story was amazing.
A lot of green lights on Slack just popping off.
Because I Googled Elden Ring DLC and the first thing that came up that I opened in a new tab was your article, Ruby. You said, you said that it... You've done well with the SEO. You said that the Elden Ring announcement dropped at 7 p.m. Ruby Inn is published 2 days ago, February 28th, 2023, at 8:13 p.m.
Whoa!
Wow. Fucking lying. Yeah,
I was working overtime.
I was on it. I was
Someone's
on
played
it.
Mario Teaches Typing.
Embedded actually, post tweet. One typing challenge. Thank
High
you.
High quality yes. image locked into yes. the page.
Well, what's six paragraphs. Japan's like, what, 2 hours behind here? So, like, even in their time zone, that's yeah. close of business. Like, yeah. it's there's
legit.
Like.
It was just so out of nowhere. And I like ran. I was at my parents' place helping my mom with her references for a uni assignment. And I was like, Mom, I'm so sorry, just give me a sec. And like ran to my old MacBook that I had there that
Hell yeah.
thankfully still worked and had to just like. Blah, 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 blah. But I went balls deep in that SEO. It's not even funny. I was I need this to hit Google, and I need it to come. Like, it has to work.
It literally ended up on my screen 2 days later. That come that you programmed in is now covering my
That's
motto.
A proud
a
come,
big
sir.
Bear asshole has shown up and scared me.
You there, boy. What day is it today? Today? Why, it's 3 days after the 1 year anniversary of Elden Ring, sir.
Oh, fuck. I forgot to hit go on that blog post.
I mean, it's just an image, but I'm sure I know I'm excited. Nox, I think you are as well.
Yeah, I loved this game, and it had been long enough that I thought that, similar to Sekiro, they might just not do anything with it and maybe move on to a sequel with ideas they might have had for DLC or whatever. Very glad that it's getting DLC. It looks like it's Mikkola riding your fucking donkey horse. Big tree, yep. looking dead. Who knows what's going to happen, because who knows what the story in that game even was. But yeah.
It was so funny because like the Kotaku US article came through and then they updated it to like theorize, and that theorizing turned into like a whole ass manifesto. meanwhile, when I did the post, I was like, is it going to be a spooky expansion?
I'm looking at that now. You describe what's in the image, and then your take is, who's to say?
Honestly, that is the most responsible kind of reporting. Let's not...
Yeah.
You know, we don't like to buy into the fake hype cycle. Let's just say what is happening that we know and leave it there. I'm sure it'll be good. I've played, I think, a couple of the previous FromSoft like DLC things for the Dark Souls games. I still haven't got around to the Bloodborne one, but they're all as good as the original games, basically.
Totally.
Like, there's so much care and craft and detail put into them. And Elden Ring itself, best game of all time, DLC. Best DLC of all time? Who can say?
Oh, baby. Yeah. I'm never going to get to play this, not because of any kind of skill level that I have with Elden Ring, but because, fellas, I'm coming to terms with the fact that I'm never going to be able to wrestle control of my PS5 back from my girlfriend, who is absolutely obsessed with Hogwarts Legacy.
Absolutely.
She is deep in. She is just, mainlining. And, like, I'm in Adelaide, and I reckon I can hear that PS5 fan from here. I reckon it's working overtime at the moment.
Because you were doing all the combat sections. So has she got her head around that? Has she's fully dived in?
I cranked it down to story mode, and she's
right.
Yeah, she's getting through those bits now.
Hell yeah!
Even that, she's like, she's just all in. She's she's hating. I was telling you this the other day, Ben. She's like, you know what the worst part of this game is? Having to move the fucking camera around with the right stick.
Yeah.
This is giving me the because this is like Ruby. She's only ever played Animal Crossing before, so this is like her second. So just like, it's funny watching someone interact with something that has just over time become second nature if you play enough games. But it's like you go, oh yeah, there was a point where we all had to kind of like awkwardly learn to like. Do the like, you know, nudge the camera with the second stick as we're walking around. She's like, I wish the camera was automatic. And I'm like, it used to be in games and it sucked. It never worked properly.
Extra jump? I'll kill myself.
I'm going to fire up fucking Gex for her and see how she goes, just to give her a bit of taste of what it used to be like.
Gex related content right here. Gex Enter the Gecko is available to play in full on the Internet Archive.
Oh, okay.
You just got to know where to look.
Okay. Thanks for our next video idea, Ruby.
Internet Archive is such a tautology. It's
speaking of weird announcements, by the way, I think like Mortal Kombat 12 also, there's not that much to say about this, got like confirmed for this year. Mm-hmm. I think before they'd even ever actually officially announce that game, I think just on Twitter that Ed Boon guy, is my understanding, just goes like, yeah, we'll chuck it out this year. Anyway, see y'all.
Actually.
Wow. Okay, yeah, please correct me.
News insight, because I wrote about it the other day. It was revealed during an investors call.
Oh, great.
For quarterly earnings or something, yearly, I don't know, an earnings call with investors. Warner Bros. Was literally just like, we also got other games coming out, like Mortal Kombat 12 this year.
Hell
and then just left it.
Yeah.
Left it at that. And that's how it was announced.
My favorite.
So good.
Yeah, my favorite way of things getting announced.
If they'd have known Mortal Kombat 2 would feature so fucking heavily in The Last of Us as well, do you reckon they'd have tried to get their wheels together and drive on to an announcement before that had happened? I wonder how much Mortal Kombat got Googled after that.
Weirdly, I didn't see this news, but I saw Ed Boon tweet about like being so proud and overjoyed to be featured in The Last of Us TV show through his work. So I don't know.
I thought he had also shown up in the Mortal Kombat episode.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays Raiden. Didn't you know that?
I guess he does. Yeah, his voice was in it. You're right.
Yeah, he is in the game. What else? Little bits of tidbits of news here. Wolf Among Us 2 is delayed to next year, which is a shame because it's like my favorite Telltale game or the sequel to it. And Final Fantasy 16, I love the wording of this. I think, this was on Kotaku. I don't know if you wrote this one, Ruby, that the director, I guess, of it was like, Final Fantasy 16 will be coming out this when it's dated to, unless Japan gets hit by a meteor, which I'm like, okay. So it's not definitely coming out.
It's weird that
could get hit by a meteor.
To be at the point where, like, developers are, setting up a release date and then they're going, like, no, we mean it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The announcement to be like, no, that's real, instead of just assuming that it won't change. There are a bunch of previews of that came out as well that look, it sounds
like
it's
some people have had hands on and stuff. It sounds cool.
Yeah. A few people got sent over to Tokyo to try it out. Looks really
cool. Ooh, baby.
Must be nice.
Is that a meteor in the sky? Yeah. Quick. Give me the
control. Oh no, they're all there. I'm kidding, I love them. But like I feel like, you know, nowadays you gotta take everything into account. Like, oh, it's gonna come out on this day. And if it doesn't, it's because everyone just got eaten by crocodiles. Well, you know, like
yep.
There's shit can happen beyond a meet. Like Advance Wars still isn't out.
It's coming.
It's coming. I'm getting more and more afraid of the impending release date of that game that seems to signal vast international conflicts.
They're done with the putting the release on hold. But you know what's not done with yet? The Russia-Ukraine war.
The fucking horrifying.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And yet, unrelated enough reason why they delayed that game.
Right.
To put... you know... Another unrelated game that you guys have all been playing.
Oh, I love that segue. That's the best kind of segue.
You know who would never start a despicable conflict? Little pink ball by the name of Kirby.
He actually had me finish him.
That's why he would never start one, because he knows that he's like too powerful. If you shot a missile at Kirby, he becomes a missile. Fuck are you going to do to me? The only way you can kill Kirby is by king hitting him.
They don't even know what he's made out of.
Yeah, maybe your fist would just go in.
Mm.
As long as you're avoiding that mouth, though. But yeah, you guys have all been playing... which one is this?
Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe.
Yeah.
You need to kill Kirby, I guess you need to trick him into sucking up a grave and then taking on its ability, right?
Yeah.
That's the only. That's the way you take him down?
Or, a skeleton, a ghost, maybe.
Dress up as Scream and then stab him. That's how, there's sure. a character called Kirby in one of the Scream movies.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hayden Panettiere. She's back okay. in Scream 6. Yeah. Coming to cinemas this March 9th. I'm not affiliated.
I always forget
that,
Kirby is like a real name.
Yeah.
It would suck. Oh, what's up, Ice Climbers? My other child.
So what's the history of this game? Because I'm not a big Kirby guy. Like, I played that last 3D Kirby yep. platformer that came out and really enjoyed it. Thought it was like super creative. That was the mouthful mode one. The meme game that everyone loved. And I enjoyed it a lot. But I don't, yeah, I probably played like the first one on the NES or some shit. But when is this game originally from? Because this is a remake, right?
So, yeah, it's a remake from the Wii era. So this was, right. Return to Dreamland was on the Wii. Mm-hmm. And now they've brought it for the Switch and they've added a whole bunch of new stuff. Like the Merry Magoland area is completely yes. new.
Yeah, right.
There's a little theme park where you play all the little. But it's so.
I know
it's
this we're on Discord, like, yeah, obviously doing this remotely. I know this isn't what you said, but I'm certain from how it sounded, you said the Mary Magdalene mode? Is that. Or park?
Yeah. No, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a whole weird sort of like Christ as a, you know. In his in-between years,
yeah.
Getting it on, fathering some children, and yeah, it you're right, it wasn't in the original Kirby game, but I'm glad they've added it for this. It feels like a natural fit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to accept that you won't tell me what you actually said.
No, and sorry.
I'll just live in this world forever.
Merry Magoland.
Mago is the name of the little character that comes into the game. I think the weirder thing about it is the fact that it sounds and written down looks like, sort of looks like, Mary Magaland, which is like, I'm sorry, Kirby, I'm not coming with you.
They've got to rename this level. No one's hearing it right.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a really cool kind of mini game. It's called Build the Wall, which is, you know, creative.
It's like Animal Crossing, where if you play this Kirby game on January 6th, you get like an extra level.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby goes orange in it. He's calendar. A little cheese puff Kirby.
All the villagers are in my house. They're trying to get me to come with them. This new little area, it's a whole bunch of little kind of mini games. But were those mini games themselves in the game originally? Because you also unlock them in a separate area, even though they're all instantly available at the start of the game in this new dressing for them.
So some of them are from the original Return to Dreamland. Some of them are from other Kirby games.
Okay.
Some of them are brand new mini games for Deluxe.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always love chucking a weird little extra mode into a Kirby game. A little kind
love
of.
It.
You've got these little challenge levels as well that are just you unlock and they focus on one of the copy abilities and it's like a little course that you've got to run through within like 2.5 minutes. Just, you know, a whole bunch of little challenges just themed around the specific copy ability that you've got. Did you play this? So you played this game back in the day on the Wii, Ruby?
Tiny little bit.
Right.
I didn't get to own it, sadly. But I played some of the mini games at a friend's house.
Right.
And so this is my first time kind of like owning it myself, which is a treat. You know,
yeah.
I love how they've done the new design with the like the outlines on the characters.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the like the super abilities as well. Like going from like having a little sword to just this giant fucking sword that you swing and it breaks everything in sight.
So good. The animations for those. Because like, they'll like change each time you activate them like, or cycle through a few. And they're so creative. And I think that's what I'm loving about this. It's like, as with, you know, most Kirby games, the difficulty is not hard and it's not meant to be. But it is so visually inventive. And like those outlines, the fact that like it's sort of semi-cell shaded, 3D rendered backgrounds, a lot of 2D like UI stuff and those cell shaded sort of character drawings mixing and meshing together so well. It just, It's so fucking good. I love it.
It looks incredible. Cool. It really doesn't feel like a Wii game. It doesn't feel like it's two generations old. Like, they've given it such a great coat of paint. It looks incredible.
Yeah. And the thing is with Kirby games, with this game and Kirby games in general, I feel like they're the pinnacle of coming down to a game's level.
Rather than
playing it with, you know, your game level in mind. Because, I experienced this with Kirby and I experienced it with Brass Flaunt Your Fashion. Like, clearly both games made for children, so they're going to be quite easy. But once you bring yourself down to that level of, like, I know this was made for children, so I'm not going to play it like I'm, you know, playing Bloodborne. Then, you know, you can have a lot of fun. And
yeah,
Kirby
I think I've
is fun.
Yes.
I think I've racked up at this point. I'm on world 5 and I think I've racked up like 38 lives. Like, I'm just just stockpiling those one ups and like never going through them. But yeah, you're
I'm
right.
Glad
I think
you said that as well, Tommy, because I know we're going to get at least one comment being like, "You should have 60 lives by then." You're terrible at games, Tommy.
Yeah, pretty brave of me to put the number out there. But I think with the they make them to be easy, but I think what I really enjoy about them is they don't just make a level that you can wander through. They kind of design it in such a way that it's like, if we're going to make this easy game, we're going to make it in a way where half of the level is easy because you get this like incredibly overpowered sword and you're running through the level just absolutely decimating everything that's on the screen. So it's like, if it's going to be a cakewalk, it's going to be a big, bombastic, very creative, very like over the top. Like, that's the stuff I really enjoy about it. And like, yeah, they're not sitting down worrying about the level design being challenging in terms of a platform you've got to hop to or a, you know, a villain that you've got to take down. They're just focused on fun visual stuff. Just, yeah, they just free themselves up to have a level of creativity that and like design that most games don't get to in you know, in being more challenging. It's yeah, this one is such a fun one.
It's not like ridiculously easy either. I think it does ramp up a little bit. It's like, if people who haven't played any of these, it's just like the first level in a Mario world, you know, where it's like, oh, we're teaching you the mechanics of this particular you know, section of the game. It's still not like, it's not hard, but it's not crazy easy. You don't just hold forwards. There's still a bit of ingenuity in traversing the level and, you know, hitting blocks and timing things. And I've like died on a few levels, and there's like
I have to
in like the water world where you're sort of being propelled through and you're like, you've got to dodge the spiky boys and shit, where it's like, look, if your reaction time isn't fast enough, you're going to get hit.
Well,
they're also more about like, as they go on in each level, there's four little cog things that you're between 3 and 5 little cog things that you're trying to find, and as the levels go on, the challenge is in finding them. So you'll walk past a bit that's kind of sealed off, that there's a door behind that's clearly going to give you a cog on the other side, and you can't get in there because you didn't get the right, you know, you didn't go the right path earlier in the level. So it's like, it becomes a lot more about, oh, okay, I see now, I didn't do that puzzle bit properly, so I've got to go back. So if you're someone who wants that challenge, it is there for you in going back in the level and trying to find all of that kind of stuff, which, yeah, I love those kinds of things in like the Mario games. They've always got like the hidden coins and all of those kinds of challenges. I'd sort of rather commit myself to that than I like something that's going to have me throwing the controller across the room because I can't beat this boss or whatever.
Well, that's the thing as well. They've got like the extra ability challenges as well that you unlock when you have enough cogs. And they can get very difficult. Or maybe I'm just bad at video games, but like, they can get very difficult because it's like on like a, some of them on like a 2-minute timer, and you've got to get through this level on a 2-minute timer while also collecting as many points as you can. And like, sometimes things will be literally like, feel almost impossible to get to. And I've died so many times in those challenges. And you know, if you are looking for a little extra oomph, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're little medals that you can get based on your score, and like, getting the gold one, you've got to know it back to front. The Kirby games have two of my favorite kinds of tropes in video games. One of them is the tutorial level, where the little instructions for what you're doing is on a little kind of signpost that's in the level, which in the reality of the game, it's like, okay, so you're just walking around and there's a little sign that just has push B to inhale. What the fuck does that mean? And
well,
another
when
one
you're
that
like,
I...
when you're at the crossing, it says press the button and wait for the green man.
Yeah, that's
so,
true,
you know.
Actually. Yeah.
There's a few of
you,
that.
You have just described a sign, yeah. Like in real life, whenever it says stop, you could actually just do what you want.
Well, but a sign that applies to only one person, a sign that just has a picture of one specific man,
right,
and it tells you how to do a thing that only he can do. It's like, who's this guy, Peter?
Peter. Sorry.
Peter.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only another one.
Another one that I love is wiping out an enemy and then they smash into the screen. Implying implying that you are like a kind of like an omnipresent you are sort of hovering over this tableau.
Right.
In a little kind of glass container watching all this happen.
It honestly felt very Sakurai. Like, it really did. Because, like, you know, he did Smash Bros. As well, and that happens plenty in Smash Bros. And, like, it felt very that.
Mm. It's a Ninja Turtles arcade game for me is the thing it reminds me of. Probably the first
Battletoads.
Time I saw it as a kid being, whoa.
Battletoads is the OG for me, yeah. Battletoads.
I smashed this cunt into the screen. I fucking killed him.
I'm
He's
so strong.
Screen.
I'm
You've
so
got, like,
fucking strong.
None of you guys might have gotten to this yet because it seems like it is, like, plugged into the ending. There's some extra levels for the remake too, right? Where you'll be in that Magalore guy.
Yeah, there's like a epilogue kind of thing.
Yeah, where you're Magalore, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And because I didn't do this, you can, I guess for extra help, you can have Magalore have a little helper guy as you play through the normal levels.
He's the Funky Kong.
It's the Funky Kong mode, yeah. But yeah, I think I'm in the fourth world, and it, like, they're a little bit like, you know, normal town, iced or water town, you know, like they're very, very tropey. And the water levels, again, as with every other game in the history of video games, are the most annoying ones. But within a Kirby game, it's not that annoying. Like, it's not that difficult. God, it's just so creative. And I love the designs. Like, the first boss you ever see, it feels like in a bunch of Kirby games, is the big tree guy.
The big tree. Yeah, he's always the big tree.
Love that design. Love the funny little oval eyes and the, like, it's very Akira Toriyama. But yeah, I'm loving this. I'm so glad. I kind of was maybe going to just avoid this game altogether, but it's been one of my favorite gaming experiences of the year, in which I've, like, played seven games that I all love. So
it's you get little masks that you unlock during the game that you can then wear. So, and every time you beat a boss, you unlock a little mask of their skull that then you can you
it
can
rocks.
Wear into the level, like, just really, like, I took this guy down and now I'm dressing up as him as a warning to all the other bosses.
My ongoing mask has been the little fairy girly from Crystal Shards.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
I love her. Love
yeah,
her.
They're all little characters from all across the Kirby games. I agree with you, Ben, about the swimming in games. Never that fun. Mm-hmm. This I don't mind so much, though, because any time you drop into the water, Kirby has a little, he's got a little snorkel that he puts on.
Yeah.
And I love that.
When he
annoyance of swimming
surface,
gets a pass. Yeah.
He's got the little life ring. Oh,
so cute.
Yeah, this is, It's obviously already a great game underneath there, but yeah, what they've done to, like, add this extra stuff in, and also, yeah, we should say, I was pretty skeptical on the mini game stuff. I feel like I've interacted with that in other Kirby games and just always found it a little hit and miss, a little, like, tacked on. But these ones are really fun, and, like, you get these in the Merry Mago Land. You have, like, a little you've got, like, a little stamp card thing, and you've got little missions based around, like, doing, getting a certain number of points in one of the games, and you get your little stamp card, and every time you get to, like, 10 on the card, you get a new mask. So it's got, like, a cool little... I kind of just was like, oh, I better try this out to talk about on the pod, and then got sucked into it for like an hour just going around and doing all the different little mini games, and they're fun. And yeah, you can play all of them with like four people, I think. You can play through the whole game as well with four of you, which this,
yeah.
This being a Wii game was around that era where Nintendo just got obsessed with every platform game they put out being able to be played with four people at once, with varying results. I don't think it I don't think much would be added to the game other than just like a bit of chaos. It seems like more of like a, you'd just all be going crazy on the screen, not truly working together to get through the level. But
if you've got kids, right, like that's,
if you've got kids too,
yeah
a fun option. I kind of wish you could play as the other characters just in single player mode. I'd love to be a bit of DDD. I'd love to be waddling around as that little penguin. But yeah, great game.
A penguin.
Yeah, he's a penguin.
I guess I've never really put that together. He does look like a penguin now that I'm thinking of it through that lens, but I always thought he was just a fucking guy.
Just like a King DDD.
Yeah.
He's just, I like, mean, in a way.
Just a bloke, just like some weird blobby bloke like Kirby, but no, he's a penguin.
He's a penguin.
Do you go to the zoo and go like, he has a weird...
Hey, you guys are fucking... You shouldn't be in there. That's the animal cage.
The Super
Ruby,
Smash Bros.
Ruby,
wiki.
He used to work there.
He used to work at the zoo.
He used to work at the zoo?
Yeah, my job was to hang out with the lemurs, make sure nobody touched them.
Yeah. And were they kind of like guys to you?
They were like 10 guys who would hang around and like they all didn't say much. They weren't very talkative.
Hairy man.
That's about right.
He's a bit standoffish.
They came in early, though.
They were always there when I got there, and they were the last to leave, I assume.
Dedicated. Yeah. The Smash Bros. Wiki calls him a penguin-like guy. So
what?
Penguin-like.
Okay. So he's a man?
He's somewhere
he's
in the
being,
middle.
Actually. It says being, a penguin-like being. So I don't know what he is.
This, you know what this is reminding me of, funnily enough? I just remembered the last time you were on, Ruby, you educated us about the Sonic lore internal document that someone got hired to write.
Sonic
in
Bible.
I guess like early 90s, and it's never really been touched on, but it sounds... Well, Sonic was like born in a bin or something out the back of a hamburger restaurant.
Sonic and his family live behind a burger restaurant, and they, you know, eat the burgers that are thrown in the trash.
Fuck.
We need a volunteer to a HAL laboratory to write the internal King DDD document where we go deep on him being a man who just fetishizes penguins to the point where daily he's getting up and painting himself blue.
Oh,
putting on a little fake beak.
Loves like penguins, doesn't know what colour they are.
Yeah. And they can call it the Wikipedia.
I have been reading about this Kirby game on Wikirby already, so you've got competition.
Oh, fuck. I love it.
I like yours more.
King DDD is like that lizard man guy who like got his tongue cut in half and shit, his skin tattooed green.
I think he's here at the moment. I think he's in Adelaide right now.
Oh wow.
He's always at the fringe in a little tent.
Yeah, fuck, little, of course.
In the little freak show that they have.
He's your favorite card from Marvel Snap. You should go get a photo with him.
Lizard.
Yeah.
My favorite comic book character, Lizard.
I found Gex, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
An archive. I've got it right
Amazing.
Here.
Amazing.
So I'm going to do that afterwards. There's two versions of it. One of them is the demo, and like the main one you can play. The one with the demo just has one screenshot, and you can download the demo. The screenshot is Gex standing in front of a sign saying, "Pimp Strutton." I don't think I know what Gex is.
Cool.
He's just a guy, isn't he? He's just
a bloke.
He's
just like a lizard like guy.
He's just a bloke.
Yeah, he just
fetishes television.
Paints himself green.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a Ninja Turtle, but he kind of fucked it up. He couldn't find the shell.
There's a sign in that, Nox? Wow, it's part of the sign cinematic universe you're so obsessed with, Tommy.
My favorite.
That would never happen in real life. No one would ever tell you when to pimp strut.
Pimp strut. Who's this for? I'm not wearing a fur coat. This isn't for me.
Have we been playing anything else? I know, Nox, you've probably been going deep on the VR stuff.
There's a bunch more VR games I could talk about, but I don't want to spend too much time. Resident Evil is cool. It works similarly to how Resident Evil 4 worked in VR, that version. So you can listen to us talk about that. And Gran Turismo is still the same game, so that's why I haven't gone too much into those. There's a bunch of upgrades you can do from old games. But yeah, I'll talk about them
Sure.
over time.
Yeah.
Ruby, have you got any hot tips for us? Because the last time we had you on was partly because you had been so positive about Cult of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the impetus for all of us to check it out. Is there anything else that's come across your desk lately that you think people might not be aware of?
Yes, but I would also consider it an acquired taste. I played a game called Meg's Monster, which is mm-hmm. by Japanese studio Odin Cat. It, like, upon first glance, it looks very Undertale-like. However, I would class it, like, it does have, like, turn-based battles and RPG elements, but I would say that it's got that, but it's also skirting on, like, visual novel. Like, it is is such a beautiful and in-depth story, and it seems like they've probably, like, focused the most on that out of everything.
Great.
So if you're looking for a fantastic story that, you know, will make you cry, as well as some very interesting use of turn-based battles, I would highly recommend Meg's Monster. It is about Meg, who is a little girl who has fallen down into a monster world and is found by Roy, who is a big, tough monster, and he, you know, is protecting her because all the other monsters would like to eat her. And in the battles, Roy is basically indestructible. So his HP bar is like 99,999. But then you've also got Meg's emotional health bar. And every time she sees Roy get hit, it hurts her. Because she doesn't like seeing her friend get hurt. So
God, that'd be fucking useful, though.
You're juggling, battling these monsters as this giant buff monster yourself, as well as keeping Meg happy by playing with toys with her and making sure that she stays calm. And I think that's is really fascinating, but the story itself is just gorgeous. And also the music is done by, I think it's Ryo Uritani, who did some of the music on Hi-Fi Rush. So,
oh, cool.
Really neat. Highly
that
recommend.
Sounds cool, and I'd never heard of that one. It comes out tomorrow. But even though it comes out tomorrow, I did also play it, and I thought it was a lovingly written visual novel adventure that sprinkles in RPG elements for the sole purpose of pushing its story ahead. While those who prefer a fast-paced, action-filled experience probably won't get much out of Meg's Monster, those who appreciate a gripping story about an unlikely friendship will have a great time with it. And I loved it, cried a lot, and now have the main theme song on repeat.
Wow.
That sounds so familiar.
Your fucking SEO is fantastic because that is twice in 1 hour that I have just middle-clicked the first link and you have shown up.
Maybe,
well done.
Maybe Google just knows that we're friends with Ruby, so it's serving you personalized.
They're like, oh, you're
results.
Googling? Have you suggested reading your friend Ruby's work?
Yeah. I'm going to Google Ruby Innes and see what comes up.
Don't do that.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a play. I'm going to give that a play. I'm going to play the Humanity demo. I didn't know there was a demo. I must have zoned out during that bit of the end of the presentation, but I'm going to give that a crack.
What are your famous mid-conference blackouts?
Man, it's happened during this episode of the pod. For everyone tracking my sanity, I have cracked level 3,000 on Marvel Snap the collector's
Lordy.
Level.
That's so fucking high.
3,000.
That's such a big number.
Oh my
and
God.
I hit rank 80 for the first time this morning. So, I did a Twitch stream last Friday, just Friday afternoon, our time, where I just played Marvel Snap and chatted with people. I'll probably do it again tomorrow. So,
cool.
It's like around, I don't know, 2, 3 p.m. Australian time, which I think is the evening Thursday in the U.S. So, if
it's
anyone
not,
wants to
it's
jump on.
It's not the sort of time that any Elden Ring DLC is going to be announced. That's for damn sure. So you're not going
to
have any. You're not going to have any clashes there.
Way too early in the day.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is that just on the Filthy channel?
Yeah. Just on Filthy Casuals Pod, I think is our Twitch handle. So come say hey. A lot of people jumped in and gave me some recommendations of where to go in the UK. So hey.
Give me a lot of recommendations of where to go. Fuck myself.
Yeah. Long walk, short pier came up a lot. Sounds nice. Sounds beautiful. Put my little snorkel on, my little life ring. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, we'd better wrap it up there for another week. Ruby, thank you very much for joining us. People can find you on Twitter and Instagram, and your writing is regularly on Kotaku, and you're on the Kotaku podcast.
Yes. So we recently started the Kotaku Australia podcast with me and David, where we talk about what we've been playing this week and what you could be playing next week. Similar to like our system of what are you playing this weekend and this week in games, except the good thing about the pod is that you know, if you look for This Week in Games every Monday to see what's coming out in the week, the Kotaku Australia podcast comes out every Friday the week before. So it's kind of an early look at what's coming out in the next week. So the Kotaku Australia podcast, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on YouTube for the visuals.
Nice. Cool. Check we should
listen.
Stuff out.
We should listen to it, guys, so we have an idea of what to play for our podcast.
Yeah, it is a good idea. David, I believe David was at the Splatoon 3 preview event that me and Ben went to a few months ago. And yeah. I think we got put on a team with him. And because of me and Ben, our team lost dramatically to all the employees of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Owned.
So sorry. So pass on the apologies.
You're in Adelaide too, right? You're doing your show in Adelaide for a few more days.
Oh, yeah, I've got my show Scam Artist is on at the Rhino Room at 7 p.m. Adelaide time, 7:30 p.m. in the rest of the country.
You're not streaming it.
If you want to just light a candle and say a prayer for me every night. Yeah, a few tickets left. I think Friday's sold out, but there's some for tonight if you're straight. Well, no, this will be out after that. Come on Saturday. There's one more chance left to see it by the time you hear this if you're in Adelaide. And, yeah, we've got our live show at Comedy Republic on April the 2nd. Mm-hmm. Get tickets from comedyrepublic.com.au and yeah, head to filthycasuals.com.au for all the other stuff that we have going on. We got the YouTube, we got the Patreon, and we've got Clicker I Barely Know It, our podcast about The Last of Us HBO TV series that we're doing every week. So yeah, check all that out. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
if you're anyone from a company that sends me bills regularly, all that stuff about buying the PSVR 2 was a joke.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.